ever concerned that their basic provisions would be provided, and who provided them and why? And number four, what are the common worries of the Main Street American Christian today? And number five, what are your greatest concerns? These are just a few of many simple questions to help expose critical mindsets, which will either hinder or lead to the revelation about the calling in your life. If you are honest, many of the questions could be answered in a single statement. American Christians spend most of their lives simply trying to provide for their families and therefore assume that this is their calling in life. Oh, how paradoxical this thinking is to creation. We pray instead that at this very moment, His Holy Spirit would pierce your heart with this thought. The revelation of your personal calling is already in you. The Messiah in you guarantees it. If you have the courage and faith to accept that answer, it will expose all the deceptions in your heart and your mind. Then you are free to step into your destiny. Your destiny as a believer. What is your destiny and what is your calling and what is you to do? I want to remind you of yesterday's devotional that we did, talking about part two of Things Unsaid. And we looked at Isaiah 55:11 that said, it is the same with my word. I send it out and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper in everywhere I send it. His word is powerful. And when he speaks something to you, it's going to happen. To fulfill your destiny, you must never doubt that what he says is true and real. You must believe in everything he says because it will come to happen. In Genesis 1:3, Yahweh said, let there be light. In Genesis 1:6, Yahweh said, let the space between the waters and heaven separate. In Genesis 1:9, Yahweh said, let the waters beneath the sky flow together. Genesis 1:11, the land sprout vegetation. Over and over again, he spoke and it happened. We are never to doubt what he tells us, what he speaks to us about our destiny, no matter how crazy it might seem that we can accomplish something or that we should accomplish something, things that we didn't even think of, things that we didn't even comprehend we could have the power to do. Well, it says in Isaiah, again, 55:11, in the same way with my word, it will prosper everywhere I send it. And that is no difference in your own life. When he speaks something to you, it will happen and you will prosper if you do not doubt. You do not doubt. Isaiah 46:10 says, only I can tell you the future before it happens, but everything I plan will come to pass. For I do whatever I wish. And now we go to look at Ezekiel. We look at the power of the word of our Creator, and we look at what it says in Ezekiel, a believer, a prophet of a wonderful Creator himself. It says in chapter 3, verse 22 to 27, then Yahweh took hold of me and said, get up and go out into the valley, and I will speak to you there. I will speak to you there. So I got up and went. So Ezekiel went on faith. He didn't doubt. He didn't laugh. He didn't deny. He got up and he went. And there I saw the glory of Yahweh, just as I had seen in my first vision by the Kebar River. And I fell on my face to the ground. Ezekiel had the reverence for Yahweh. That reverence, get up and go and you will see my glory. I saw it. He fell face to the ground. That's reverence. That's what our Creator wants us to give him, reverence. Understanding when he speaks, we listen. We stop and we know that his words are true. It says in verse 24, then the Spirit came into me and set me on my feet. The Rahadah Kodesh was not just given in the renewed covenant. It was all over the original covenant. And here we see it given to Ezekiel. The Spirit came into me and set me on my feet. He spoke to me and said, go to your house and shut yourself in. There, son of man, you will be tied with ropes so you cannot go out among the people. And I will make your tongue stick to the roof of your mouth so that you will be speechless, unable to rebuke them, for they are rebels. Yahweh has control over every single part of our body, over every soul in our body. And by Yahweh just speaking and it comes true. And all throughout scripture, we see the connection between Yahweh speaking. Blind men can see, dead men can rise. And we see right here, Ezekiel couldn't speak. He couldn't open his mouth and speak. Why? Because Yahweh was doing something in his life. And I see things happen in people's lives today, and they miss it. They miss it, that it's Yahweh in control of everything. And they get discouraged, and they start doubting, and they start living in fear. Yahweh's in control of everything. And he says in Ezekiel, he goes on to say, the stunt that your tongue will stick to the roof of your mouth, you not being able to rebuke them. Verse 27, but when I give you a message, when I give you a message, I will loosen your tongue and let you speak. Yahweh not only speaks something into existence, he is in control of our cells, our body, everything. And he is in control of when we can speak, of what we can do, of what we can't do. That's why when people live counter to Torah, against him, it's such disrespect to him. We see Ezekiel, a believer, giving him the reverence. And Yahweh tells us in scripture what Torah is, his guidelines and instructions, how he wants us to live. And he helps us do that. And then he says to Ezekiel, then you will say to them, this is what the sovereign Elohim says. Those who choose to listen will listen, but those who refuse, for they are rebels. Yahweh had his timing of when Ezekiel could speak and help them speak. But now we go to an unbeliever. That was a believer. Now we go to an unbeliever. We go to Shaul's conversion, the Apostle Paul, in Acts 9. It says, meanwhile, Shaul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill Yahweh's followers. This was an evil, wicked man trying to kill anyone that believed in Yahweh. So he went to the high priest and he requested letters addressing to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. As he was approaching the city of Damascus on this mission, remember what he was going to do. All of a sudden, the light came from heaven suddenly and shone down around him. And he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Yahweh spoke. And Paul answered, the Apostle Paul, Shaul said, who are you? Who are you? And the voice replied, I am Yeshua, the one you are persecuting. And he answered the question, and then he told him, now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. But he didn't just tell him that. Just like he shut Ezekiel's mouth until it was time for Ezekiel to talk. He shut Shaul's eyes until it was time for Shaul to see. Until it was time for him to see. The men around Shaul stood speechless as they heard the sound of someone's voice, but they saw no one. And then Shaul picked himself up off the ground. But when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by hand to Damascus, and he remained there blind for 3 days and did not eat and drink. So now we see him on the road to persecute Yeshua's followers. And just like Yahweh closed Ezekiel's mouth, he closed Paul's eyes, and he couldn't see. And the Apostle Paul fasted for 3 days. For 3 days he fasted. And now we look at faith and the opposite side of this, and one of the most amazing, courageous acts in all of scripture. A great example of faith. We're talking about your destiny right now. What Yahweh tells you to do, are you going to do that to fulfill your destiny? It says in verse 10 of Acts 9, now there was a believer in Demetrius named Aeneas. Yahweh spoke to him in a vision, calling Aeneas. Yes, Yahweh, he replied. We look at the difference just a few verses ago. Yahweh spoke to Shaul, and Shaul said, who are you? And here we see Yahweh speaking to one of his believers. And the answer was, yes, Yahweh, he replied. Yes, Yahweh. If you want to fulfill your destiny when Yahweh calls you, how are you going to reply? Are you going to say, who are you? Are you going to laugh at what our Creator tells you to do? Or are you going to give him reverence? Like Ezekiel gave him reverence. Like Aeneas gave him reverence. Yes, yes, here I am. And then verse 11, Yahweh said, go over to Straight Street. Go over to Straight Street, the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man named Tarsus, from Tarsus named Shaul. He is praying to me right now. I have shown him a vision of a man named... I have shown him a vision of a man named Aeneas coming in and laying hands on him so he can see again. But Yahweh, exclaimed Aeneas, I heard many people talk about their terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem. And he is authorized by the leading priest to arrest anyone who calls upon your name. But Yahweh said, go, for Shaul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to the kings, as well as to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So Aeneas went and found Shaul. Verse 17, do you hear that? So he went and he found him. Let me ask you this. If somebody was coming after you to kill you, to destroy you, to take you in chains, would you simply get up and go meet him if Yahweh told you to? We go back and we think about what Moses did with Pharaoh. We think about what the Apostle Paul himself did later on, when his desire was to go to Rome. And we think about all these things. And we see Aeneas went and found Shaul. He laid his hands on him and said, brother Shaul, Yahweh and a wonderful Messiah Yeshua who appeared to you on the road had sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Instantly, something like scales fell from Shaul's eyes. And he regained his sight. Then he got up and he was baptized. Afterward, he stood and ate some food and got his strength back. Wow. Wow. So we see the believer trusting, and then we see the non-believer not trusting. Their mouth was closed. Their eyes was closed. But their heart was opened. When Yahweh calls you to fulfill your destiny, you answer. You answer. There's one more I want to focus on and talk to you about. We look at a man named Zechariah in Luke. The man named Zechariah. To show you the control that our Creator has over everything when he speaks. It says, then the angel said in Luke 1:19-20. Luke 1:19-20. The angel said, I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of Yahweh. It was he who sent me to bring you the good news. So now you had an angel being sent to this man named Zechariah. And this is a very, very important man in Scripture. We're going to take a look at him. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time. So let's tie this all together right now. We just looked in Acts in verse 17 about a man, Aeneas, that was told to go and find Shaul. And he went, he got up and he believed. We saw a man named Ezekiel who showed reverence to Yahweh, got down on his face, and until he was full with the Spirit, he listened as his mouth was shut and only Yahweh let him speak certain words. But then we go to Zechariah. We go all the way to Zechariah after seeing Paul, a man whose scales were falled off his eyes after he was blinded for 3 days. Now we go to Zechariah, who did not believe. This angel came to him and spoke to him this message, answering his very prayer, because Zechariah did pray for a child. He did pray for a child. And we have the angel Gabriel coming to Zechariah saying, Yahweh has heard your prayer and will be answered. And Zechariah's unbelief. And Yahweh closed his mouth until that child is born. And just like we started off in the scriptures about Yahweh speaking. 55:11 of Isaiah, I will accomplish all I want to and it will prosper. It goes on to say again in Isaiah 46:10, everything I plan will come to pass. We've read those verses. And then we go and we see right here at the end of Luke 1, verse 20, for my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time. My words will be filled at the proper time. Remember what it said in Isaiah 46, verse 10? Only I can tell the future before it ever happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. And then it goes on and says in Luke 1, verse 20, for my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time. And this is all not just about events of the past. This is about events of the future for our life. For our life. And we don't just need to wait for our Creator to speak to us. Ask Him, what is my destiny? Show Him that reverence. And when He gives you that reply, don't laugh. Understand He has control of everything. And your destiny might be something that you desire. It might be something against your desires. But your desires must be His desires. What is my destiny? I want to fulfill it. I want to do whatever you say. We looked at Zechariah who doubted. A priest. He was a priest. Someone with responsibilities. Someone with a title. From the tribe of Levi. He followed the Torah. He was a follower and a believer of the Torah. He knew the reverence of the Torah, but still he doubted. He doubted. The first person in a renewed covenant before anyone, for an angel to come and speak, even before that angel spoke to Mary. The first one, he was childless and he prayed, but he didn't believe. And Yahweh showed him, I will show you that it will happen. It will come to pass. And I ask you this question today. Are you giving reverence to your Creator? Are you giving reverence to Him? Are you walking with Him? Are you walking with Him? It says in Micah 6:8, He has made it clear to you, mortal man, what is good and what Yahweh is requiring from you. So we ask about our destiny. We desire to know our destiny. Again, Micah 6:8 answers that question. It answers that question of our destiny. It doesn't get specific for each individual mandate of what we should be doing. But he says, he has made it clear to you, mortal man, what is good and what Yahweh is requiring from you. Everyone, take heed and listen. To act with justice, to treasure Yahweh's glorious love, and to walk humbly in the company of your Creator. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We go on to look more at the destiny of every person in the world. It says in Colossians 1, verses 10 and 11, so that you might live in a manner worthy of Yahweh and be fully pleasing to Him, as you bear fruit while doing all kinds of good things and growing in the full knowledge of Yahweh. You are being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, that you might patiently endure everything with joy. He's telling us how to fulfill our destiny. He's preparing us for these things. And in Deuteronomy 8, verse 6, it says, observe the commandments of our Creator by walking in His ways and by fearing Him, being awe of Him, giving Him the reverence. This is what will set you up to become fulfillment of your destiny, to walk with decency. Not only in the daylight, but even in the darkness, to walk in decency, because Yahweh always sees you, and people will always see you. Ephesians 2:10 says it and says it well. for we are his creation, created in Yeshua Messiah for good works. For good works which Yahweh prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them. Before we could fulfill our own personal individual destinies in him, we must understand that concept of the power in his word. The power in his word, and that we're his creation to fulfill his word. And we do that by obeying his commands, decrees, and regulations that he established with reverence. We need to walk with him. You know, it says to be imitators of Yeshua in 1 John 2, verse 6. The one who says he resides in Yahweh ought in himself to walk just as Yeshua walked. Just as Yeshua walked. That's what we must get. That's what we must understand. If you believe and understand in the words of our Creator, you understand from Genesis 1, he created everything. But you must, with that same belief and understanding, believe that he gave us Yeshua. He gave us Yeshua, not because we desired him, but because we needed him. Because we needed him. We needed him. And he tells us not to get distracted, not to let the enemy walk by faith.